Scripture, starting with chapter 15 and verse 36. It says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Excuse me. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. So we're going to get here in just a few minutes, this departure and where they went. But here's what happens next. Verse 41. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. So the first missionary journey is over. The Jerusalem Council is over. There was a sharp disagreement between the Apostle Paul and his longtime friend Barnabas over John Mark, and that disagreement got settled because they went in different directions, but it was settled for the time being. Paul chose Silas to go to Syria and his hometown. Anybody know where Paul's hometown was? Was it Napavine? What? Tarsus, yeah. Where in the world is Tarsus? Well, we'll get there in a minute. I'm going to show you sort of from a drone where Tarsus is this morning. So Paul chose Silas to go up into Syria, Tarsus, and Cilicia, and ultimately to Europe. A huge, important time in the life of the church and where the church ended up going. So he was strengthening the churches. It means to make more marked by firm determination or resolution, to make more firm. Paul wanted the church to be firm. He wanted the church to be strong. He wanted the church to be a force to be reckoned with in his day and not to be weak and to go backwards. He knew that there would be opposition. In our day, we need that. I look out here at empty chairs in the church, and I know, believe me, I know people are sick, people have gone through stuff, people are away for various reasons. But one of the things I was going to just share this morning that the Lord brought to my mind is that Paul told Timothy, who he's about to meet, he told Timothy these things. He said, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe, Timothy, and teach these things. And then he said to Timothy, let no one look down, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself to be an example. Show yourself to be an example of those who believe. I just want to say that by your your example, your life is an example. And so I think that when we are even thinking about Saturday night, whether we'll come to church or not, we should put away our coins and not flip the coin to decide whether we'll be here. We need to be here. We need to be part of the body. We need to show up. Hebrews says that we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. I'm saying that because the church needs to be an example. Whether you're here or not is an example to others. And I know there are times when we can't. I understand that. But anyway, so I said it. So you can throw rocks at me later and stone me. That's okay. So, but anyway, Paul came to Derbe. Paul came to this place called Derbe and to Lystra. And I want you to just go back with me for a minute to when Paul was in these cities on the first missionary journey, because I believe that what Paul experienced there, a young man named Timothy witnessed. He saw it all happen. He saw the example of the Apostle Paul. He saw Paul's life. He saw how he handled suffering. He witnessed it, and he became Paul's protege. Look at chapter 14, verse 6. Verse 5, "And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel." And I believe that Timothy heard the gospel there. Whether it was directly from Timothy or whether it was Paul to his mother and grandmother who became followers of Christ, we don't know exactly how that happened. We do know that his grandmother and mother had a strong influence on bringing Timothy up in the Old Testament scriptures, and he knew the sacred writings. But Paul came and preached the gospel there. And at Lystra, there was this healing. You remember? There was the healing of a lame man. He'd been lame from his mother's womb. And after the healing that took place there at the hands of the apostles, they said, "Oh, you're Zeus and Hermes." They were trying to worship them because they had performed this miracle. But they tore their clothes and said, "God forbid that you should worship us. We're just people like you." And verse 15 of chapter 14 says, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And in the generations gone by, he permitted all nations to go their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without a witness." And I think Paul was saying, "Here I am. You know, here's a witness. I'm preaching the gospel to you." And I believe that Timothy heard this. Timothy watched the Apostle Paul and so on. And so when he was at Lystra, as a result, the Jews wanted to mistreat him, which means to insult him, to treat him disgracefully. It means to curse him. And then it also says that they were attempting to kill him by stoning. When you pick up rocks and throw them at someone, it wasn't just to hurt them. It was to kill them by throwing stones or to pelt them with stones. And so that's exactly what they did. Verse 19 says, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." We were there a while ago. And then it says, "But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe." So it's pretty amazing what happens. He came with bruises and abrasions, lumps on his head, who knows exactly what, but they had left him for dead. But here he comes, and perhaps all of this was witnessed by Timothy, by young Timothy, who is probably in his early 20s, maybe, just a young man. But he had witnessed what Paul went through, in order to preach the gospel faithfully. And it says in chapter 16 of Acts, verse 1, and he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And so there was a disciple there. There was a young man who was a disciple. He had already been won to Christ. He was a learner. He was a pupil. He was an apprentice. He was a student who adhered to a teacher. He had been listening. He had been paying attention. He was a pupil. And it calls him a disciple. And his home was in Lystra. And he had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. We don't, and it may be that his dad was dead. His dad had died. We don't know. The language here suggests that possibly his Greek father had passed away and he was with his Jewish mother. And we know that he was converted to the faith. Paul says later that, in fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote his letter to Timothy, and Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith. He called him my true child in the faith. So whether it was directly through Paul or indirectly through Timothy's mother and grandmother, they had come to faith in Christ, and Timothy ended up becoming a true son of Paul in the faith. So the offspring. And then if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, there's a little different wording there, but Paul addresses him there. 2 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. Wow, what a statement. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So he had this mixed parentage. We know that he came under the ministry of Paul, Acts 14:1-5 in Iconium, and Acts 14:6-20 in Lystra. And he was led to the Lord by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. So, here we go. And we find out in Acts chapter 16 that he was well spoken of. He had a good reputation. That means literally that he was favorably affirmed by the brethren. They gave him a good report. Their testimony about him was favorable. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra. And that idea of a good reputation is really, really important. That's what attracted Paul. He had the testimony of believers as far away as 30 miles away from Lystra in a town called Iconium. His reputation there went before him. And and then in chapter 16, verse 3, it just says that Paul wanted him to go along with him. So he had already said, I don't want John Mark. He's already deserted us. I don't really want to bank on him right now because he messed up. And Barnabas thought, well, this guy still has some raw material in him, and so I'll take him with me. And I will go to Cyprus, but I don't want to take John Mark with me. So he chose Silas. But when he got here and got to Lystra, it says that a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. So he had a good reputation. And in fact, if you read the qualifications for leadership in the church, Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said that a man must have a good reputation outside with those on the outside. It's really important that leadership in the church have a good reputation with those outside. But it says that Paul saw in him a helper that could replace John Mark. And it says that he wanted him to go along on this journey. And so, here's the journey. Are you ready? I want you to look down at your feet, make sure you've got your boots on. we are going to take a trip. And during the trip, it's going to take a few minutes. We're going to dim the lights here. This is going to be just like whatever those theaters are. I want you to sit back and just enjoy this. You are going to go from Tarsus with Paul and Silas for the next few minutes, and you will go through the Cilician Gates. It is a famous landmark. Everybody has been through the Cilician Gates. I mean, the Mongols have, the Crusaders were, Alexander the Great was, and this is pretty fascinating, actually. And while we're going through this journey of many miles that Paul went with Silas, not Timothy yet, because he hasn't found Timothy yet till he gets to Lystra. But this is Paul and Silas walking along this ancient path that has had civilization after civilization after civilization. This roadway is famous. And as we go through this together, I'm going to read some scriptures, because all it is picture and some pretty nice music too. So hopefully, Dennis, you'll crank it up a little bit, and we'll enjoy this together. Hey, Paul, would you mind turning these out for me, the spotlights over there, because I don't need them, and I think it'll help us see a little bit better. So if you can just picture with me, here's Jerusalem, here's the coast along the Mediterranean, and up here is Syrian Antioch, and at the top of the Mediterranean corner up here is Tarsus, and that's where Paul was born. Saul was born there. And one of the things I found out is that all the way around the edge of the Mediterranean was heavily Jewish population. Once you got to Lystra and Iconium and to the north, there weren't that many Jews there, probably not very many synagogues there. But the Jews seemed to stay pretty close to the Mediterranean. And I actually looked at a map of that, and I was pretty fascinated by that. But so Tarsus, Paul visited his hometown, Tarsus, and then they headed up north through the Cilician Gates and then over into the place that we call Derbe. And Paul won a lot of Christians there. He won a lot of people to the faith in Derbe. It was very productive. They have done excavations there. There's no city there. There's just a big mound. And the excavations that they have done have indicated the presence of Christians there in Derbe. So here we go. Are you ready? Let's enjoy. Just enjoy this. Just sit back. It's going to take a few minutes, but we're going to go with Paul and Silas on this journey together, okay? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. About this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority even from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Some days Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Paul chose Silas and he left, being committed to the brethren by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. They servants of Christ, I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. tired? How bad did Paul want to get to Derby to strengthen the churches? Pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, I'm not positive about this. It seems like it's 140 from Tarsus. You can check it out because I might not be right, but I think it was 140 miles from the coastlands of Tarsus up through the Cilician gates and then onto this plateau, the plateau, Anatolian plateau, where there were these cities. I know that from Derbe to Lystra was 60 miles. From Lystra to Iconium north was 20 miles. And from Iconium to Pisidian Antioch, it was about 90 miles. So even once he got to Derbe, he still had 150, 170 more miles to go just to get to Pisidian Antioch. So it's pretty fascinating, isn't it? The things that I would say about the Apostle Paul is that he loved the people to whom he had preached the gospel enough to follow them up. I mean, when he said, let us return and go to these cities, it wasn't like, let's jump on a bus and this afternoon we'll stop in at the church. It was huge cost involved in going to follow them up. No, really. And when he came to Lystra and Derbe and just wanted to go there, I think there were two groups of people that he thought about in Derbe and in Lystra. If you read back in Acts, earlier in Acts, there were his persecutors, the people who had risen up against him with stones and wanted to kill him and wanted to blaspheme against him and his persecutors. And then the other faces were the believers that were there, even Timothy, because in Lystra he picked up young Timothy and wanted to bring him along, and he became Paul's lifelong friend and lifelong protege. The question that I always want to ask myself and you is, who are your proteges? Who are your Timothys? Who are those into whom you are building your life? We are not just running Awana, running Sunday school, running youth ministry. What, by God's grace, we're doing is we are developing young believers, younger believers in the faith, in our own families and then in the faith. And so Paul went to great lengths in order to see that accomplished, didn't he? And his goal was to strengthen the souls of the disciples. Timothy, his home was in Lystra. He was mixed parentage. I've already mentioned that. He was probably converted under Paul's in his first missionary journey, possibly through his mother Lois and mother Eunice and grandmother Lois. But he became Paul's protege. The last words that Paul wrote when he was in prison in Rome and about ready to be taken outside and be beheaded were written to Timothy and his protege in the faith. And this one who had a good report, had a good reputation. There was one problem with Timothy in this passage, so we need to just jump back to Acts chapter 16 for just a few minutes. And the big problem was they were going into Jewish and Gentile territory as missionaries. If you read this section in Acts, you'll see over and over again that the Jews were persecuting them and making life difficult for them. And so the problem was that they were afraid of offending Jews. Here was Timothy, who had a Jewish mother. Her mom was a Jew. His mom was a Jew. His dad maybe have been dead, but he was a Gentile. And so Paul was going to take him with him. And what did he say about him? He circumcised him, which was the mark of the external mark of a Jew that made him. That was the mark of the covenant for the Jewish people. And so it says that Paul circumcised him, and it contradicts something really important. It contradicts what Paul wrote, and I believe that the sequence is this. I believe Paul went on his first missionary journey, and then I believe he wrote the book of Galatians, and I might be wrong, but I think that's when it happened. And so he went on the first missionary journey, wrote the letter to the Galatians. Then there was the Jerusalem Council, when in Jerusalem, the very mother church, and they discussed the issue of circumcision and keeping the Old Testament law there. And they left. They came up in Acts chapter 15 with their conclusions, with a decree, with a letter. And so I believe that Paul and Silas, it says in this passage, they had the decree from the Jerusalem Council that they were bringing with them. So as you watch them going on this journey, they had the decree from the Council of Jerusalem declaring to those that they would meet that circumcision is not necessary for salvation. In fact, if you go back, and I've been doing that this week, I've been reading about Martin Luther. This is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and of when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg Castle or church, and his intention was not to debate with everybody. He wanted to debate with the church leadership these issues, the issues that were going on within the Catholic Church of his day, and he was tormented. He was about being forgiven by God. He was he had a very sensitive conscience, and so the Catholic Church at that time was selling what they call indulgences for lots of reasons, to make money, to build the St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, for one thing. And it's a very kind of a complicated history, but they were actually saying, if you give money, we will tell you that your sins, which will keep you in purgatory after you die, will be forgiven, and you won't have to spend time in purgatory. When you die, you'll go straight to heaven. And so there was this kind of a phrase in German that says, when the coin drops in the box, the soul springs from purgatory. And it's in German, of course, not in English. But this whole time in his life, when there were abuses in the Catholic Church of his day, Martin Luther, who was not trying to get away from the Catholic Church, he was trying to be a corrector of the abuses that were going on in the Catholic Church. And the debate went from religious leaders debating these issues because of the printing press that Gutenberg had invented. The 95 Theses went out all over Europe, and the Reformation happened because there was the printing press and the ability to communicate these things for which that Martin Luther wrestled with. And so all of Europe became embroiled in this. It didn't start with Martin Luther. It actually started 100 years later, earlier, with John Huss, the goose that was cooked, burned at the stake. And before that, in England, it was John Wycliffe. These men started the movement toward the Reformation in Europe, and so on. But all I want to tell you is that when Martin Luther got a hold of the book of Galatians, which fits exactly in this place in the book of Acts, when he got a hold of the book of Galatians, the book about our freedom in Christ and the justification by faith in Christ alone, that he said, Galatians is my Catherine. It's my wife. That book changed everything in his heart. And that's exactly the issue that is going on here in the book of Acts. And what happened is, Paul was about to take Timothy from Lystra, go back up into Iconium, Pisidian, Antioch. He was going to be his helper, his assistant, his traveling companion, his protege. And so Paul's method was always to go to the Jewish synagogues first. That's where he, if they came into a city, they would go to the Jewish synagogue. And there he would begin to open the scriptures and eventually preach Christ there. But the problem was, I've got this new companion. His name is Timothy. His mom is Jewish. His dad was not. And he had never been circumcised. And for a Jew, that was going to be an issue. That was going to be an offense. I mean, they'd look at him and they'd come in and they'd say, well, who's this guy? This is Timothy. Where's he from? He's from Lystra. Well, is he Jewish or is he a Gentile? Well, his dad died. He was a Gentile, but his mom is Jewish. And they would be offended that he had never been circumcised. It's kind of like having a mixed family where you, the husband and the wife, they get married and they're from different faiths. They're from different religious backgrounds. And so Paul took him and circumcised him. And that, but wait a minute, Paul, I thought we were free from that. I thought we didn't have to. I thought the Jerusalem Council said that circumcision is not the basis for salvation and the keeping of the Old Testament law. I thought that's what you said. This is a contradiction. It does seem to contradict. Look at Galatians chapter 2 for a minute. It does contradict this. We'll look at Martin Luther's Catherine, chapter 2, Galatians 2. We'll start with verse 1. Then, after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel. I preached to them the gospel. That is the message that I preached, the gospel, the good news. Wherever I went, I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. It seems like, well, I've got Titus here, we're not going to circumcise Titus, but Timothy we are. And what's going on there? Because Paul is in Galatians is talking about the gospel. He is talking about the message of salvation. He's talking about the issue of justification before God. And he's saying it has nothing to do with circumcision. It has nothing to do with keeping the Old Testament law. It is by faith alone in Christ alone. And he's very clear on that. Galatians chapter 1. And he says, I am amazed. Chapter 1 verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we... And it's so remote that this would be a possibility for Paul. He was so sold out on the gospel. He was so clear about how we come into a right relationship with God, how we're justified before God. And he said, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you another gospel, or a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. He couldn't have used stronger words. He's talking about the means or the method of justification before God. How we're saved. It is not on the basis of law keeping. It is justification is by faith in Christ alone. So I believe when it came to Titus, Paul was saying, Titus is a Gentile. He's a believer in Christ. But his relationship with God through Christ has nothing to do with his circumcision. We're not going to circumcise Gentiles in order to make them fit for God. Okay? That's really what was going on with Titus. But when we come to Timothy, who had mixed parents, he had a Greek father, a Jewish mother, and perhaps his father had died, Paul said he circumcised him. Why? Because he was going into, as a missionary, into Jewish territory, into Jewish synagogues, into places where Jews were. And I believe Paul said, this will be the wisest thing for us to do so that we do not offend the Jews. Had nothing to do with sanctification, had nothing to do with the issue of salvation. It just had to do with wisdom in reaching into the lives of the Jewish people. Because Paul did say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? Which doesn't mean that he had a problem with shame. I don't think Paul ever had a problem of shame before God about the gospel. I think what Paul was saying is, and I think it was a Jewish expression that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The opposite is really what I'm saying here is that the gospel is my life. The gospel is everything to me. The gospel means everything. I'm not ashamed of it, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so I believe that Paul, still, though he was called to minister to the Gentiles, loved the Jewish people of his heritage. So he refused to let Titus be circumcised. And in Acts chapter 16, let's go back there, and we'll tie all this together and then we'll stop. Acts chapter 16, it says that Timothy, verse 2, was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews. There it is, because of the Jews. Not in order to be saved, but because of the Jews who were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. So why did Paul have Timothy circumcised? It was because it was the wise thing to do as a missionary. And I'd like to just have you hold that place for just a second and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, and we'll come right back here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. This is the Apostle Paul and his methodology. This is how he operated. 9:19, it says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews, I became a Jew, or as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, but as under the law. And then, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, the Gentiles, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might what? win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. So he did not have Timothy circumcised so that Timothy would find salvation. Timothy was a saved man with a Jewish mom, and it was the wise thing to do on this journey where they would first go and meet with the Jews. So he was really saying to the Jews, I became a Jew. To the Jews on our missionary journey, I had my team fit for that ministry. And some of you know that missionaries have, over the years, have gone into places and adopted the dress, adopted the food, adopted the customs as far as they could in order to not offend the peoples that they were wanting to reach. And I think that's what Paul is doing here. He is not wanting to give an offense. And then in chapter 16, verse 4, we're just going to do two more verses. It just says, now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So here's the scenario again. I think this is how it happened. First missionary journey, Paul wrote Galatians. Galatians says, we're saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. Justification is on the basis of the finished work of Christ. We are no longer under the law. The law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. But he wrote to the Galatian churches, salvation, the basis is the finished work of Jesus. And then you have the Jerusalem Council, Acts chapter 15, and their conclusion, their decrees. And then you have the second missionary journey. And Paul said, we need to go back to those cities and let them know of the decision that the church in Jerusalem has confirmed. And I think it was very confirming to him that the Jerusalem Council sided with Paul and affirmed the doctrine of justification by faith alone. It's huge. And it's pretty exciting to watch this all taking place. So, And then the last part of this section, verse 5, is 16:5, is another of the progress reports. And I think this shows the hand of God on the Apostle Paul and on his team and on the church through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 said, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith. In the faith. And were increasing in number daily. And next week, I want you to come back. I want this place to be full. Les is going to preach on the next passage, the Macedonian call. I heard Les out there earlier today saying, I'm preaching next week. Aren't you coming? You know, and we need to be here. I don't care who's preaching. If we're preaching the Word of God, we are under the Word of God. We are being examples to our families. As much as God will allow us to be, we are here and being the church. And this isn't all there is. There's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? But if you can be here, be here. Be an example. I've said this many times. There was a man who taught an adult Sunday school class, much like Rusty does. And I think you could set your watch every Sunday on his faithfulness at being in the house of God on Sunday mornings. And I don't know why I'm really preaching and harping on this today, but most of you, I'm preaching to the choir. So, but anyway, just make it your commitment to support the work of the church. I know that we also are in need. We will be calling some of you and asking you to help out with Sunday school, with children's Sunday school. And Jerry talked about a leader for Awana. Did you get someone this week? Okay, praise God. Okay, I just want to say this. We need, as a church, to strengthen the local church. And we strengthen it by being here and by putting our unique oar in the water somewhere. Everybody has an oar that they need to be pulling at in order for this church to be what God wants us to be. Everybody does. There are no pew sitters, no parking lot sitters. We need to be involved and actively involved somehow, okay? Praying, giving, serving really fattening desserts at some of our gatherings, Irene. I mean, she's always coming at us with two helpings of really sweet cake. Like, I love you so much, I'm going to give you this sugar overdose and you're going to be depressed for 3 days. No. Anyway, we just all need to be involved. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, this is a time when the church needs to be strong. I really believe that. Otherwise, why are we here? What are we doing? What are we doing? We need to be involved in growing and building up God's church. So, Father, thank you for Paul. Thank you we could go on that long 140-mile journey with him today. Thank you, Lord, that he loved the church so much that he was willing to endure rivers and robbers and weather. He was willing to lay down his life for the sake of others. God, I pray that you would give us his spirit, his ambition, his heart for believers in the church, that we would see the church strengthened and encouraged and built up and edified. God, we want to see what you can do among us. And we just want to pray that, I pray today that we would see this more and more right here in our church and in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.